Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Appreciate Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for being with us in the last couple of segments. Normally at 8 o'clock on Thursdays, so if you're tuning in, a little bit of a change this week, 7:30 for Charles. We will have Derek McKenzie, Predators assistant coach, coming up at 8:30, and we will get into all things Nashville Predators with him, so looking forward to that. If you missed the interview with Charles, check it out a little bit later on our podcast, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, GameNashville.com, and we will have that interview up there for you. A couple things on the Charles front that we talked about, Joe. Interesting to get his perspective on the Cam Ward part of this. You know, he was talking about how the heavy involvement from a quarterback with a head coaching search doesn't really happen all that much in the NFL, and that's with young guys, that's with veterans. Like, it just has not really been a thing. A point that he made that I had not really thought about, the transfer portal thing is interesting. Of like, well, you know, these quarterbacks in college football now, they can transfer, and when they're doing that, I mean, they're, you know, at times, Joe, like, they're essentially like interviewing people, right? It's like, so what are you going to do for me? Like, what? Why is your program the place that I need to come? And we all know it's not the same thing in the NFL, but it is interesting. Like, is Cam Ward and his approach here, is this going to be something that the younger generation of quarterbacks want a little bit more say in when it comes to the coaches who are being hired and their involvement in those hiring processes?
Yeah, it's an interesting thought. Obviously, players, you know, for forever have gone to their first program is like that, right? Like their first program that they choose out of high school, that used to be that's where you're just going to go to college, is essentially like that. But yeah, the more movement, it is a little bit more like, okay, I'm in charge and I am dictating, you know, what I want to be, and I'm not stuck anymore at a program that I just didn't like, or I didn't get along with the coach, I didn't maximize, whatever. I have freedom. I can just go here. And yes, of course, there's money involved and people, you know, a higher offer, but people who, you know, are approach it intelligently, which I still think is more than not, understand that there's, you know, there's going to be money. You're going to get, it's the money's going to be mostly the same at most places, but what's the place that is best for you for a variety of reasons? So yeah, you're interviewing people. So there's that. So does that end up changing like how front offices look at it? I have no idea. It was interesting too, hearing about like Goff and McVay, like that to me, that's smart, right? Like, get this hot shot offensive young guy trying to see if he can be a head coach, and let's see how he interacts with the quarterback. And of course, you know, a few years later, then the coach is like, you know, this quarterback's not good enough. Let's go get Matthew Stafford. But I think that's a good example. And that's about what it should be to me, right? I think any interaction and stuff like that, I think that's a good thing and a conversation. And I think, you know, you would think that Cam Ward would at least be happy with that kind of involvement, even if he's not actually sitting in the room as they like break down candidates and decide who the two or three finalists are going to be or whatever.
Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Daryl in Hendersonville to the program. Daryl, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I don't give a flying, you know what Cam Ward thinks about the new coach. He's a kid. What is he, 23 years old? What company would ask the 23-year-old rookie who's shown some talent, hey, who do you think that a CEO should be? Who in the hell cares?
What company takes that young person and makes him the highest paid player in the entire company, though? See, that's the problem with your comparison. You are basing your entire organization around that person. That's not like just some young guy in a company, right?
Yeah, I get that, Joe. You're right. That's the problem with the league is you're putting all this hope, faith, and trust in a kid who hasn't shown anything. So, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I don't care what Cam Ward thinks about who the new coach should be.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate the call. I mean, look, Daryl's not alone in that thought. We've been all over the place today on the opinions on this. Again, you know, we talked about it to begin the show. What does involvement mean? You know, the way he's describing it, you know, he talked about wanting to be involved in the whole thing and meeting everybody who's interviewing for the job. Well, first off, I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, how many people are the Titans interviewing, right? There's your first question. And then, you know, I would assume at some point there's a cut down, you move on to the next point of your process, and then you start bringing people into your building. Like, there's a whole, you know, laundry list of things that are going to happen here as the Titans go through this process here. But, like, you know, involvement, what does that mean? Because I have no problem with Cam Ward, you know, wanting to meet coaches as they come in the building for interviews. I have no problem with Cam Ward wanting to go over, you know, some of his thoughts offensively with what he's really good at, scheme, all those things. But, like, I would hope that he would understand, and I hope the Titans would make this clear, that, you know, we will listen to what you have to say, and we can offer your thoughts on, you know, your interactions with the coach. But, like, we're going to be the one making the decision, right? Like, Borgonzi needs to be the one making the decision, hiring the coach, and – you know, I said it earlier in the show, like, you can get input for Cam Ward, but what does input really mean? Like, Borgonzi knows, or at least should know, the strengths and weaknesses of Cam Ward. He knows, I'm sure that he and Cam Ward have had conversations about what he wants to do offensively, the type of offense he wants to run, the type of concepts that he's comfortable with in the NFL. So, like, Borgonzi should know these things. So then I think at that point, Joe, it's about trusting Borgonzi to make the right hire at that point.
Yeah. Now, but I do disagree with, like, I don't give a crap what he thinks. Why not take input? And it may be a situation where he's like, man, I really like this guy. I really love this guy because of ABC. Or, you know, have you guys considered, I really don't like this guy because of ABC. I don't see, like, to me, whatever the input would be, and like you said, what's the involvement? How do you get to the input? I don't know, but I'm not just dismissing it out of hand. Like, shut up, kid. You sit there and we'll hire the coach. I mean, again, it's football, so they're playing a child's game, and so the most important person in a football organization is the quarterback, right? So he may not work out, but these guys, someone earlier texted, like, Cam just wants to do this so that he can get someone he knows that won't want to, like, move on to another quarterback. And it's like, believe me, this front office, their employment is tied to Cam Ward working out. They are not going to hire a coach who isn't enthusiastic about Cam Ward as a quarterback.
Oh, and by the way, if they were seriously considering drafting another quarterback, then they wouldn't be giving Cam Ward a chance to sit here and interview these guys or talk with these guys. Like, if you're Borgonzi, and you're even giving any sort of consideration whatsoever, which, by the way, I don't think he is, but play that out. Say he is giving consideration to driving or to drafting another quarterback here. Well, then why in the world do you care what Cam Ward has to say about the coach? You don't at that point.
Yeah, right. So, I don't just dismiss. And I you want to be – I mean, again, you want to be – look, I'm with Charles. Charles said what I said earlier. Like, I would much rather a quarterback overstep and want to be so involved and be like, okay, well, you can't do all that, than just be indifferent and just, I'm just going to work with my QB coach in the offseason. You guys let me know what's up. Like, I would prefer someone who's trying to do too much. And, you know, I can't – what to deal with this and figure out the parameters or everything, again – I think the Titans probably would like Cam, like, okay, talk to Caleb Williams and other quarterbacks around the league and these processes, right? Like there are boundaries. Like, there are limitations on this. If you can find someone who was in on all the meetings, then you let us know, but I don't think you're going to find that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Cam Ward front and the Titans head coach. We'll have Derek McKenzie coming up at 8:30 here on the program. All that ahead of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donig, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. Monday night's matchup, the 49ers taking on the Colts. A little bit more Philip Rivers action for everybody. 94.9 The Fan, your home for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Tonight, Commodores taking on Albany at Memorial Gym, 6:30, pregame beginning at 6:15 here as well. Derek McKenzie, Predators assistant coach, will be with us here at 8:30. Preds fall last night to the Carolina Hurricanes. We will get into that and all things Predators with him coming up here in just about 12 minutes. A lot of different thoughts on the Cam Ward front. Joe, it is kind of amazing, the discourse here. Like, there are some Titans fans that think that this is the dumbest conversation from the standpoint of why wouldn't you give Cam Ward input here? And there are some other Titans fans that are like, well, this is stupid. Cam Ward hasn't done anything to warrant conversation or any sort of input at all on the head coach. It's like it's split down the middle. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. And I just really, the only opinions that I really am just 100% out on is just the idea of just shut up, kid, and learn how to, you know, complete a pass. Like, you have, I think that's silly. I think there's also a limit the other way. But so here's a Street Be Killing on YouTube chat. This is I said something like this earlier, but let me read this. He says, I'm a director and I'm hiring a manager under me. I absolutely care about the opinion of the people that will report to that new manager. Your boss has a bigger impact on your health than your doctor. And again, when we try to make these corporate comparisons, just like the caller, it's not perfect. It's just, it's not apples to apples. But I said that earlier. It's like, I mean, I want Cam Ward to have an idea of what's going on and interact with some of the people that we, maybe once we get it to a smaller group,
yes,
or something, right? Like, and if you get down to, and like, on from their perspective, maybe it's like, you know, whatever, there's pluses, minuses across the board, but that's like your question is, okay, if it's that close, is like Cam Ward's feeling / input be a tiebreaker? I don't see why there's anything wrong with that.
Well, I definitely don't need it being the tiebreaker. Like, I need the general manager to make a decision on hiring a coach. That's what I need.
Okay. Well, I mean, again, if they go through all these things and like I said, it's just that close and it's just splitting hairs, why would his input not have any value? Why could that not be considered?
Well, I mean, it could be considered, but I need the general manager of the football team to have enough conviction to hire a head coach. That's what I need. And if he can't do that, then they got a big problem.
Okay. I mean, I get, yeah, you know, they're going to interview people. They're going to talk to other people. They're going to talk to people who worked with this guy or that guy. They're probably going to talk to quarterbacks who worked with this guy,
sure,
or that guy. Because again, their entire employment is tied to Cam Ward working out. So, what, you know, you can hire a coach, and if the coach could be a good hire, good job, GM. Oh, by the way, the quarterback you drafted sucks. You're fired, right? So, I mean, I think when your entire existence in a franchise is tied to a person, and I think that person has a little bit more voice than other people in the certainly other people in the locker room.
Well, a quarterback. I mean, yeah, the quarterback is going to have more of a voice than other people in the locker room. I guess what I'm saying is, I don't need like Cam Ward being a tiebreaker in your decision to hire the head coach. Like, if that's what it gets to, that's not good.
Oh, okay, so let's just say there's all these different factors and Cam is huge. He is a big proponent of one guy, and he's down on the other guy. And you can't tell the difference. Does that information get processed and used or no?
What does Cam Ward know about these head coaching candidates, Joe? He hasn't worked with any of them.
What?
So why? Well, like, what does Cam Ward know about this?
Well, he's having a conversation about football with them. I mean, again, this is the entire playing the game of football. Now, it hinges on, like you said earlier, on Cam, or other people have said, like him getting better with his accuracy, all the mechanics. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Cam Ward knows football and can talk to a coach and can have some idea of whether it would work out or not. I don't see why that's a crazy thought.
I just – Cam Ward – and, again, we're talking about coaches here, we would assume, based on some of the things that they've said – like, it feels like coaches who have been head coaches before in the league are going to be of pretty high importance here. You know, talking about how they're trying to change the culture and all those things. Like, so, like, I would assume Borgonzi, pretty familiar with Matt Nagy there. I would assume that, you know, he's talked to people, and they've had months to do this at this point. He's talked to people about Robert Saleh behind the scenes or whoever it is that they end up being interested in here? Like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, Cam Ward, I'm sure he's going to talk through football schemes and ideas and concepts with all these guys. Like, I don't think it's going to be, like, so dramatically different between all these guys where it's just like, well, Cam says that Robert Saleh can't tie his shoes together offensively, so we're going to go with the other guy.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're not – anything Cam says isn't going to completely, like, undercut all of your work and interviewing and research. But, again, I'm just saying it's information that I would use. It's information that I would take into account in some degree. Hard to quantify. Like, no, LD's like, has anyone said he'd be a tiebreaker? No. No, and, again, I'm just saying, like, in this hypothetical scenario, could his information end up mattering, you know, end up being something like, okay, but Cam does feel really strongly. Again, if it's like we feel this way, he feels totally the other way. No, I'm not saying you're going to change your opinion. I'm just saying if you're so close and you're like, what is, you know, how do we break the tie? So I understand, you know, the idea that it's a tiebreaker would anger people, but you know, I would use his input. I would. Now we were also, one of my favorite things we're getting here is, Brian and others have said, I hope they ask for Will Levis thoughts because he's going to beat out Cam next year. So there you go.
Maybe we're missing the whole thing here. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Let's throw that into the hopper.
Get Levis, Ward, Brandon Allen all in the room together. Let's toss some ideas around here, guys. What do you think?
So Dennis says, if you have two good candidates in the QB who your job is hitched to, says he likes one of them and he says there's no chemistry with the other, do you take the one he likes? And again, now, unless Dennis, yeah, like it's a pretty hard lean to the other one. And it's like, well, there is more. It's not just Cam. Can he coexist with the guy? You know, is it that dramatic? If it's not
Cam, like Brian Callahan, too. So again, there's a huge limitation on the opinion, the stock that I'm putting in what Cam Ward thinks.
I do wonder, like, would Ward go to Berserker and just be like, no, I don't like this guy. No dice.
It sounds like he would.
I think he would. Like, look, the one thing I'll say about Cam.
No, don't hire him.
Like, I don't know that he would come out and say, don't hire him. But the one thing I will say about Cam that I like to a certain degree is, you know, I don't think he's afraid to say what he thinks, which I do think is important to have in your quarterback.
So I've got someone who's more in your boat texting me who's like, you know, basically – like, what about the front end? Ask Cam, ask Simmons what things they think the team needs, right?
Yeah.
Use that information as opposed to, okay, what about this guy? What about that guy? I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying it's negligible to not have them interact, but I don't see what the problem is. Again, Cam needs to just know, like, you know, Cam, you're not sitting in our meetings. Like, this, players don't do that. They've never done that. They never will do that. Unless maybe, you know, like Charles was throwing out stuff like Peyton Manning and Caldwell, but that's so different. He was a star. Caldwell was in the building. It's so different. So as long as he understands the limitation, I don't see what's wrong with hearing what he says, seeing them interact, again, like we talked about with McVay and Goff. And you know, considering it to whatever extent you want to consider it.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll be joined by Derek McKenzie coming up here in just a few minutes. We've got the best and worst things in sports a little bit later in the program as well. All that ahead. The Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoff presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. Tonight on Sports Talk 830, it's Missouri State taking on Arkansas State, Butch Jones, in the Xbox Bowl, which is right up Butch Jones's alley, at 8 o'clock. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowlgames. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Preds in action last night, taking on a very good Carolina Hurricanes team. They fall 4-1. Help us talk more about all things Nashville Predators. We had our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie to the program. Derek, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Now, how's keeping up with the schedule this year so far? It feels like you guys are playing about every 36 hours around here.
Yeah, you know what? Obviously, going overseas and playing those games and having a little bit of time to recover kind of compresses and condenses our schedule a little bit. I thought we've done a pretty good job, though, managing our energy and trying to limit, you know, how much time the guys are on the ice. And for the most part, I thought energy hasn't been an issue for our team.
So last night, obviously, you know, Carolina, we know what they do, and Forsberg was talking about this after the game, you know, how aggressive they are on the forecheck, and he said last night that they shoot pucks from literally everywhere, and that's the way that they play. So most of the time when Carolina's playing in the game, they're gonna win the shot counter. I know you guys were not happy with the first period last night. You put together a nice comeback attempt in the third period there, but overall, what did you make of last night's game, and what do you make of kind of the way you guys have been playing on the whole for the last 10 games or so?
Well, I mean, for the most part, you know, I've liked our game. I thought, you know, especially up until yesterday, I think, you know, we've addressed our start a little bit. And obviously when we can find a way to get that lead, like most teams, it's a lot easier, you know, playing ahead than it is chasing it. Again, I thought our energy has been pretty good. You know, we've moved some things around, incorporated some guys. Obviously, Smith back in the lineup adds a little bit of energy. But, yeah, I mean, Carolina is where they are for a reason. You know, they're a skating team. I mean, you know, to allude to the shot clock that you're referring to, yeah, they sling a lot of pucks, which, you know, it is a philosophy that sometimes, and obviously for them, works out. I mean, we tend to want to hold on to the puck a little bit more and try to, you know, that's why our OZP time is as high as it is in the league. Trying to generate some stuff by, you know, beating guys in man-on-man situations and things like that. Certainly they were ready to start. They got that first one that's been tough on us all season long, and we just weren't able to recover after that.
So I feel like, you know, we certainly every year, and maybe multiple times a year, Derek, we ask somebody this in the organization. Okay, how do you know when Philip Forsberg is on a heater, so to speak? And obviously he's always a dangerous, productive player, but is that what we're looking at right now?
Well, we certainly all hope so. I mean, no, quite honestly, you know, Phil's a star in the league for a reason. You know, you talk about being a pro, it's all about consistency. He's proven that over the years. I mean, yes, at times he can get red hot and be a difference maker for us. That's kind of been the case as of late. But you know what? Again, I think what's important about Phil is when he's going, he kind of drags a lot of the other guys into the fight. And, you know, he's got a big influence on our team. So I think if you look at our record as of late, as, you know, as we're trying to chip away and find ways to win 2 of 3 and, you know, kind of stay in the fight in the standings, I mean, I think that's what's probably, you know, a little bit frustrating about last night is you keep creeping back into the conversation and then you have a little bit of a setback. But again, you know, when you're looking for positives in that game, there's one thing you could say about these guys over the last few years is they, you know, they never give up. And I thought, you know, like Phil alluded to after the game, they didn't like the way they started the game, but found ways to, you know, claw back into it. Unfortunately, you know, coming into the third period, giving up that second one really hurt us as well.
So, Derek, you know, Brunette has talked about Evangelista specifically and how important skating is with his game, how well he's skating right now, and you're seeing the results of that out there with the production that he's had. So, I guess, what do you make of the way that he's kind of approached this season? Obviously wasn't in camp and maybe took him a few games to catch up to the rest of the team, but he has and seems to be playing probably the best hockey he's played in his career for you guys right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think, you know, we've always felt like Luke's a guy that sees the game competitive, been able to get results at every level. You know, as a coach, you're just, you know, some of the things you can't rush. I think just him maturing physically has always been, you know, one of those things where, like, once he gets over that hump and finds his legs and a little bit of strength, all these plays are probably going to be completed. I felt like he put the work in the summer. It's hard, you know. He came in, I thought he injected some energy, and then it was kind of like trying to catch a moving train for a little bit. So there was a little bit of that 10-game getting himself up to speed, knowing that he missed training camp. You know, and saying that, I agree with you 100%. He's completely up to speed. He's skating as well, he's competing as well, but it's the details in his game, all the little stick battles, working back. You know, it's one thing to be up there playing with O'Reilly and offensive zone starts, but now when you're getting the defensive zone starts, we've always talked with Luke, right? You want to be a guy that's on the ice, up or down a goal when it's late in a game, and I think he's evolving into that kind of player.
What are you seeing, Derek, from Fedor Svechkov? Obviously, you know, tough start, but it seems like he's kind of hanging in there and battling. What are you seeing from him right now?
Yeah, well, a little bit different, you know, with Svech being a centerman, right? So now you're asked to do a lot more as far as, you know, matchups and D-zone faceoffs and, you know, kind of having to do some things on the road at both ends of the ice. I mean, he's certainly, you know, an exciting player. I think, you know, probably a couple years behind Luke, just naturally in his transition into the NHL. You know, I thought he's been quietly really good. I mean, he shows bursts even last night in the third period, just protecting the puck and holding on to it. I don't think it's translated the way he's wanted it to, but again, that's a good sign. He's a competitive kid. He understands where he's at. He understands that he has to get stronger in some areas. But at the end of the day, you know, if he continues to trend the right way, that's a huge piece for this organization, having a kid like him at his age, at his size, with his ability down the middle. You know, he's got a great attitude. He's been a professional this whole time, and he wants to get better every day. So those are all positive signs.
So, Derek, as a coach, you know, Forsberg was talking, you know, last night after the game about how maybe at points in the game that the forwards should have done a better job of coming back and maybe helping the defensemen on the breakout there. You know, obviously there's value in that. You want to be able to stretch the ice when you can too. So as a coach, how do you try to strike that balance of making sure that there are, you know, places to go with the puck on the breakout while also trying to see if you can, you know, stretch the ice when you can?
Yeah, well, I mean that's the game, right? You know, trying to find ways, first of all, to slow down a team like that in a neutral zone. So when your D go back for the puck, they have that extra second to make a play, to move their feet. Normally, you know, if you can go back and get headed north just a little bit, things tend to open up for us. That's what makes Carolina so good. I mean, the bare bones of their system is they have some guys that are very quick, very tenacious on the forecheck. We know that. You know, you add that ingredient in of their D pinching down, knowing that those fast players can kind of track back in case pucks don't get kept in. You know, you've got a pretty good system there. And saying that for us, you know, there's nights for them where, you know, things don't go as well or we're able to slow them down. You get pucks, you know, on the glass and on the window, and then you have our guys in predictable situations. You start to break them down. You start to get odd man rushes. You start to spend a lot more time in their zone. Their system is a very simple, like, kind of punt and hunt system where pucks are out, pucks are in. So again, when you can kind of wear them down in a game, it's difficult. They show up every night. They have a certain style they want to play. If you can kind of get through that, and I thought we did, you know, at 1-0, we started to take back the game. We started to have that possession time. There's, like I said, a lot of times where they just make the safe play to get it out and get it in. You know, that puck possession time starts to add up for your team. Eventually you have the puck enough, you get dangerous, you get some opportunities. So, you know, Ryan O'Reilly had one in the second. We had a few waves there where if it goes 1-1, I think it's a potentially different game. But, you know, ultimately, you know, early on in the game, I thought, to your point, you know, we spent too much time throwing pucks or turning pucks over when we did get it back. And that puck at such a premium in a game like that with no time and no space just wasn't enough for us.
Derek, last thing for you. I mean, obviously a couple of big games coming up this weekend. You mentioned, you know, the last 10 games or so, you guys are playing better. And, you know, we've talked with Brunette about that too. So as a coaching staff, as you guys are trying to get back into the race here, what's your message with your guys heading into the weekend? And do you feel like you guys, you know, last night notwithstanding, are starting to build some of that consistency in your game that you've been looking for?
Well, yeah, I think we've talked about it quite a bit, right? That, you know, this team has been through a lot. You know, it's easy for it to get away from you. I thought the guys have done a really good job of, like, not looking too far ahead. We've talked about, you know, 2 of 3 in a week, chipping away at our schedule, you know, just controlling what we can control. And I thought, for the most part, we've done a pretty good job of that. I think the guys' attitude, you know, every day coming to the rink has been they just want to get better. It seems that the more we compete and practice, the more they dig in, the more they want those kinds of things. So those are all positive things. And saying that, you know, that's how difficult the league is. You feel our momentum get going, and then, you know, there's just a lot of good teams in this league. And last night was a case where, you know, you get through that one, you're a game from 500, you're feeling great, and they come in and kind of stick to their game plan. And now we have to find that kind of mental fortitude to reset, because as difficult as this league is, you've got two teams coming in hungry, needing points in the Eastern Conference. We've got to take advantage of being at home. We've got to be some homers and take care of business before Christmas. But again, I think just sticking to the process, you know, we are growing. You can feel it in the room. You know, is it going to be perfect every night? No. But as long as we keep getting the effort from these guys, it's been fun to be a part of the process.
Well, Derek, thanks as always for your time, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. And we will see you this weekend at the rink.
Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas, guys.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to you and your family as well. Derek McKenzie, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, Predators assistant coach. Preds have the Maple Leafs coming in on Saturday, the New York Rangers on Sunday. So some of the big market teams coming up this weekend. And as Derek McKenzie said there, all these teams need the points. Toronto needs them. The Rangers need them. Predators need them. So we will see how the Predators respond to that coming up this weekend. We will have the best and worst things in sports coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is time for the best and worst things in sports. Here on Robbie and Rex Road, we'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rex Road, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, well, you know, I love these combo ones. So my best in sports is that, you know, Vanderbilt football had arguably its greatest player ever get to New York in the Heisman ceremony, finished second, by far the best, I mean, the only finalist in Vanderbilt history, and finished second in the Heisman voting. Great ceremony, great job of telling his story and everybody's story there of the four players. Great acceptance speech from Fernando Mendoza. That's my best in sports. My worst in sports is everything that's happened since then, and definitely includes Pavia. The post, the F all the voters was a bad decision. I don't really care too much that somebody got 10 seconds of him dancing in a club with an F Indiana sign. Are we blaming Julian saying, who knows, whatever. That one's overblown. So bad decision by Pavia, deserves some criticism. Now we've gotten to the point, I can't look on X anymore, and I should probably just stop anyway, without seeing like Reese Davis, I regret voting for him and all this stuff. And it's like, guys, can we calm down now? We've gone way the other way. I understand Vols fans. Or he's, you know, turning him into Charles Manson, you know, and they would never want such a player to play for Tennessee football. I get that. That's how, you know, college football fans are, especially in a rivalry. But, like, it's gotten a little bit out of hand with, like, Pavia's character. I mean, I'm hearing, like, the Heisman people are actually, like, want to tell people, like, he was great. He was amazing all week, you know. It's like people are starting to feel bad for him now. It's like, let's all calm down. Bad decision. You know, he sent out an apology. The fact that we're still going off about this is my worst in sports.
Vandy Joe, Ian, your exactly. Best and worst things in the world of sports.
You know, I got a couple of good ones. The playoff, of course, getting underway this weekend. Well, that's a good one. And then how about tonight's Thursday night football?
Pretty good one.
Is this the best Thursday night football matchup ever in the history of Thursday night football matchup? Other than, of course, like Thanksgiving.
You remember that Rams-Chiefs 54-51 game from about 7 years ago?
It was good.
But yeah, this is good.
No, I don't remember that one. But I'll take, yeah, I'm sure that one. Yeah, I guess these guys are DVOA, super high in the fancy stats. Seattle, Rams, should be fun tonight. So I'll put that as the best this week. Worst, all this talk about the NBA Cup. Do not care. People were like, oh, the Knicks are going to put up a banner about the NBA Cup. Oh, they won the NBA Cup. Like, a couple of things. Do not care about the NBA Cup in general. Banner, no banner, NBA Cup, tournament, no tournament. Do not care. That's my worst.
It is the in-season tournament is just stupid. Very stupid. My best thing in sports, I mean, Phillip Rivers almost pulling it off last week. It's pretty good, man. Phillip Rivers getting out there at the age of 44, not playing football in 5 years, you know, hey, he didn't light the world up or anything, but almost won the game on the road when his team was a 13.5-point underdog, and I am interested to watch him play again coming up on Monday Night Football this week. So I will give Phillip Rivers my best thing in sports. Honorable mention to the battle last night I was watching halfway with the Predators game going on between the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens and the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns. Honorable mention to that game last night in the what bowl was that? The 68 Ventures Bowl, I think is what it was. So that was good.
Oh, okay.
There you go. My worst thing in sports, Micah Parsons tearing his ACL. Physical pain. that I've been feeling all week. Emotional pain, any pain you want to describe. I've been feeling it all week on the Micah Parsons front, and I'm not over it. I won't get over it.
Yeah, it sucks. And, I mean, you could make a worst out of Parsons and Mahomes.
Yep.
On the same day, you know, it's every year in the NFL. They're going to be some of the best players in the league are going to get knocked out for the season. It's guaranteed to happen, but it still always sucks and a good candidate for worst. To your point on your best, you know, Jeff from Nebraska also says like the presser and the stuff that he was saying post game speech. You know, it could be part of the best too. Yeah, I mean, Philip Rivers talking pretty much. Worth the price of admission.
Yep, pretty good stuff. And to Ian's point, we get the playoff coming up this weekend. By the way, our college football game of the week is Alabama and Oklahoma, first round of the college football playoff. The action starts tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Coverage presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. We will get a little bit more into the college football playoff tomorrow. But, Joe, it will be, I believe, Kuharski with me tomorrow, and you are off tomorrow, so let's go ahead and get your thoughts on the matchups, and we'll spend time focusing in on the two. We'll get to the official picks tomorrow, but what do you make of Alabama and Oklahoma and then Miami and Texas A&M and the two big ones this weekend?
Yeah, well, I'll start with Alabama-Oklahoma. I've been working on a story on Ty Simpson and his family. It's a fascinating family. Graham's little brother is going to be the next big thing. He just threw for 5-10 in the first half for Westview High to win the state title, but I think this is breaking news from me at The Athletic, but he's been getting epidurals in his back for the past few weeks. There's been all these message boards, rumors about a back injury, and it's real, and it's been bad. And it also, he had medicine that messed his stomach up really bad, et cetera, et cetera. So he's had this rest time. They say it's not going to be surgical. Is this enough rest for him to get back? Remember, we talked about it a lot. Like, he looks like the Heisman winner. He looks like maybe the number one pick,
yep.
Right? As of early November, and all of a sudden it's gotten a lot worse for Alabama and for him. And not trying to excuse that, but I do wonder if a little bit extra rest, he's going to look a little bit more like Ty Simpson of early November. And if he does, I really like Alabama. I mean, Alabama should win the game. They dominated the first game. I understand it's on the road. I like Alabama. Miami, Texas A&M, I mean, I'm fascinated by how good is Texas A&M, because this season, and this is a problem with conference, one of many problems with these massive conferences, like it just turned out that they didn't really play much of a schedule. So they're at home. It should be an amazing environment. I can't wait to see the environment. And if Miami's playing the way they have lately, I think they have a really good chance to win that game.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to that. You know, unfortunately, we have to watch James Madison and Tulane in the process of all this, too. So that'll be great, too.
Get your shots in.
Looking forward to that.
Get your shots in. Go Cinderella. I'll be watching and rooting for, you know, something surprising.
I'm sure, you know, I'll watch the first 3-4 drives, I'm sure. And then when it's 28-0 early in the second quarter, I'll probably tune away. That'll probably be how it goes for me this weekend.
God, I need at least one of them to be, like, shockingly close. And I'm just going to tweet play-by-play and tag you on everyone.
Well, you'll have to do it because I won't be watching. That's for sure.
Even if it's close?
I'm not watching James Madison in the playoff. I'm sorry.
So James Madison's in a close game in the fourth quarter driving for the win. Because it's James Madison, you're not going to watch it?
That is correct.
Okay, that's ridiculous.
Just saying. I'm just being honest, being real on the show. Joe, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
You too. All right. Thanks, guys.
Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.